We're back with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. Thanks for making some time to be with us. Hopefully, you can spend the whole hour, or what is it, about 55 minutes. But if it's just going to be a portion of that, good to have you with us. And we invite you to participate. As always, it's your show. You drive it with your takes, your insights, your wisdom, your life experiences, and we're going to give you the number now and invite you to start calling as we unveil what we're going to be discussing today. It's 1-833-288-EWTN or 3986. 833-288-EWTN. Debbie, good day. Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm heading to the airport. We're going to be going to the LA Catechetical Religious Education Conference in Anaheim. So I'm excited because we'll be broadcasting right on the conference floor, which is going to be exciting. We have some great topics planned. So I'm looking forward to that. So getting ready to head to the airport. But today, right now, like you said, Jerry, during this brief hour, we're asking the question of our Take Two family, what size vessel could your tears fill? What size vessel could your tears fill? We'll say that again. I thought about it all last night, and I actually told my husband this morning. I said, I think I could fill, over the many years that I've shed so many tears, Jerry, that I could fill a 50-gallon tank.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
I know. My husband says, that's a lot. And I said, yeah, really, I really feel that way sometimes, because I just, when you're pouring your heart out to God and things are filling up with sadness and sorrow, tears come easily for me. And so I was just wondering if that's how others feel, and maybe there's something that's pressing on your heart with about your family, your children, or something of that nature, and you cry about it all the time. So what size vessel could your tears fill? That's what we're asking today.
All right, again, the number is 833-288-EWTN. Now, we know it's kind of a rhetorical question, so you may not be able to determine the size of vessel that your life's tears could fill, but let's have a conversation about sorrow and grief and crying and shedding tears. I think I've mentioned on this show before, Debbie, that when I went through my year of depression in 2011, I would just bust out in tears, you know, for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I really, when I finally, you know, God was good enough to bring me out of that darkness. And I looked back and I thought, I didn't know the human person could shed so many tears. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very real human emotion, a human act, if you will. And sometimes, you know, the tears just come, you know. And it's actually, though, Debbie, isn't it said that it's kind of cleansing to cry? Is there a kind of a cleansing or a purifying element to that?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of healing properties that go along with it, in the sense of it is very cleansing, and it can release a lot of tension. So many things can happen when we let ourselves show emotion. And I think that can be healthy. Now, the thing is, Jerry, I wonder if there comes a point where it becomes too much. And the reason why I say that is because, for me anyway, it got to a point where I could cry at everything. I mean, I would cry at Hallmark commercials. I mean, everything. And it started to become really almost too much, that I had my emotions so close to the surface. Know if that's if maybe that's necessarily a good thing, but I can tell you this: I've shed a lot of tears over family situations, and I'm pretty much dried up.
Well, so there you go, folks. We want to hear from you. You know, has there been a time in your life, maybe you were grieving the loss of someone? I think as I look back at that year that I went through, I think a lot of the tears, Debbie, had my parents' names on them, my father's name, you know, for never really knowing my dad. And, you know, we have to grieve these things. And dear listeners, maybe you've lost a loved one, a child, or had a relationship that didn't work out, or just some kind of a heartbreak in your life. And you've been through that grieving process, that sorrow has just welled up within you, you know. And maybe you were like, wow, where did this come from? I don't know how to deal with this. But, you know, share your experience on that and how maybe it helped you bring you through something and to maybe a brighter day. 833-288-EWTN is the number to call.
Phone lines are lighting up. That means you you probably have shed some tears like we have. And so we want to hear from you. We want to get a glimpse into your life so that we can better understand our own journey. I mean, we're all in this together. Remember, we're the body of Christ. We're journeying together, hopefully, to heaven. And that's what Take Two is all about. It's a way for us to look at ourselves and the world around us and to get a little bit closer to God with this brief hour we get to spend with one another. So don't just sit this out. If you have something to say, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, now's the time to call in at 1-833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We'll be right back and we're going right to your calls.
Our meditation for Thursday of the fourth week of Lent continues on with that marvelous chapter of the Gospel of St. John, which we began on the previous couple of days. And this is a great chapter for the Christian to confront themselves with their responsibility, their duty, to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, equal to the Father. It's very, very hard in any civilization for people to believe that a man could be God. They could believe in divine-like men. The Greeks believed that there were divine men. Jesus is not a divine man in that sense. Jesus, according to the great ecumenical council of Ephesus, held in 431, which was a follow-up of the first council, which was held in 325 at Nicaea, and the second council, which was held at Constantinople in 431, and the great council of Ephesus, we have these words, which are the essential teaching of Christianity about the incarnation. And they're filled with mystery. But listen to them, because this is what we believe, that at a certain moment in time, the eternal word of God, equal to the Father in all things, left the bosom of the Father and came among us and took upon himself a true human body and a true human soul in the glorious and immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of God, in her womb. That's the dogma of the Incarnation. If you are a Christian in any serious sense of the word, you belong to a church that has pledged itself publicly to believe in that teaching. But that's not enough, because you must act like you believe that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God and the Savior of the world.
This is Father Thomas Petrie, Godly Counsel on Morning Glory. During this Lenten season of spiritual renewal, all of us at EWTN Radio are praying that you have a holy and blessed Lenten season.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. And as we do occasionally, we're all of us together getting a little bit vulnerable here, maybe a little bit personal, talking about buckets of tears and, you know, how big a vessel could your lifetime worth of tears fill up. And I mean, we all are going to cry at some point in life, and it doesn't have to be because of sorrow or grief or heartache. You could just all of a sudden just it could just hit you in the face one day, Debbie. You know, God is so good, you know. Mm-hmm. God is love, and I love God, and that could bring tears, you know, tears to one's eyes. So there could be any number of reasons for shedding those tears.
Here's something interesting. When I was talking to Marty this morning, sharing how big of a bucket I could fill over the years. Excuse me. There's that frog again. It's an Arizona frog, by the way. It's a desert frog. Marty doesn't cry much. He doesn't show tears much. And because I even said to him, well, how big of a vessel could you fill? And he says, like, kind of like an 8-ounce cup over the years. And it's interesting because his brother was killed tragically. But he said he feels like he cries on the inside. So that's very interesting, Jerry. And I just wanted to say that, because he doesn't show it on the outside, but he says on the inside he could feel the tears. So that's just another angle that we might want to approach as we go to the calls. So Russell, you got our first up virtual award in Pensacola, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Russell. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
I was calling because I'm known as a crier among my family and friends. I'm the person who cries all the time. But I think that I cry more tears of joy than I do tears of sadness. I guess I'm a little practical. When the sadness comes, I try to just move through it. But I cry when I leave confession. I cry at the raising of the host and the chalice at Mass. I cry, you know, when there's an anointing and when there's a baptism and when there's a wedding. And I think that a lot of the times, if I literally look back on it, I cry more at the happy times than I do at the sad times. And I think that if I had to compare the vessels that I'm filling, I think the tears of joy would fill a bigger vessel than the tears of sadness would throughout my life.
That's beautiful, Russell. I love that. And I can relate to that as well. I remember I cry at baptisms as well. And I did especially when I was a student at Franciscan University. And we would have some of the students who were not Catholic, but they went through the RCIA. And then we had these glorious Easter liturgies. Usually Easter break, you know, you'd be gone. But it just so happened that two of the 3 years that I was there, we had the Easter Vigil Mass, and they do it at midnight, and it goes until about 3:30 in the morning, and then you've got sunrise praise and worship out on the patio there. But I remember those moments too, just seeing these students who were just taking that plunge and taking the faith seriously and coming to faith and learning to love God. So I don't know, I share that with Russell, Debbie, definitely. I cry at joyous occasions.
Tears
too.
Tears of joy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Russell, I just want to go back to, you started off your call, you said you're known as the crier in your family. How has that impacted them? I mean, have they become a little bit more emotional because of you being able to show emotion so easily?
When I'm around them, yes, definitely. I think it still confuses a lot of people, the tears of joy do. I used to be an RCIA catechist, so I know exactly what you're talking about there. I used to, when I would, put on the suit for Easter Vigil, I'd have to, instead of one handkerchief, I'd have to bring three, because I would cry so much, not only during the baptisms, but also during the confirmations, that I would, these handkerchiefs would be just filled with tears. And I think that helped other people throughout my life open up a little bit more, become more in touch with their own feelings, maybe. As the actually my one of my brothers calls me the town crier, because I cry when the flag is raised. I cry, at military funerals, and the bittersweet, the happy, the sad. That's me. I'm the crier.
I like that.
Yeah, I love it. And Debbie and I have a mutual friend. I won't mention her name here, but she jokes around. She cries too. She'll be welling up with tears, Russell, and she'll just turn and say, "Oh, the wind just blew again." So she cries that easily, But yeah, so I love that, Russell. I love that about you, just being open and honest and vulnerable and showing your emotions. It's not really easy for guys to do, but I'm glad that you shared that you do that. Yeah.
It's not. And it's, I love to sing. I love to sing at Mass, but there are many songs that we sing at Mass throughout the entire year that just choke me up and the tears just start flowing and I can't
me
sing
too.
Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be any good in a choir.
Well, you'd be the choir crier, Russell.
I would. Yes, I would.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Thanks for your call. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Have a beautiful rest of your day. Okay, Joseph in Jackson, Michigan, listening on Good Shepherd Radio. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hello. Oh, I'm so glad to hear someone talking about tears of joy. I think that tears are a gift to us. There's a way that we can experience things so deep and profound and then not have words for it. So many times I've heard people say, I'm crying, I'm sorry, I don't know why. And really, we mistake our knowledge. We limit it to, if I can't put a word on it, if I can't have a sequential list of symbols to describe this, then I don't know it. And I believe the reality is there's so much more to know than we can put words on. And when our tears are coming, we're talking to ourselves, and we need not be afraid. We have an opportunity, we have a gift, where we can listen and know ourselves better. And often, the tear, as deep as a sorrow might be, there's also a joy there, and we have to be willing to open the spring full, open our hearts, and let what truth must come out to us. And on occasion, we may even have someone we can share that with. But you can listen to yourself with no one there, and just let yourself feel your tears, and you will know what you're needing to know.
Okay, I need to ask you something, Joseph. Did you plan this out, what you were about to say, or did it just come from your heart? Because that was so beautifully stated. I just wanted to know if you go ahead.
You know what? I planned to be sort of more. I was going to be the kind of a critic of, hey, what's wrong with you people? We're just talking about tears, like it's all sadness. And then waiting to listen, I was very moved to know that other people were introducing that concept of, you know, tears. And I had thought, when you're saying how many, you know, how big of a container would you need to fill with your tears? And I thought, how big of a container would I have after that for the smiles that followed my tears when I just understood truth way better than any words could have described even to me. So there's a long-winded answer to, I just let the Spirit speak through me.
I could tell, it's very much.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm sure you've found the fruit of practicing listening to that Spirit, so I'm sure you can tell when other people are doing the same.
Bless you. Bless your heart. I'll tell you, that was beautiful. I took notes, but again, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show, because you said so many things, Joseph, I want to highlight and actually use in a catechetical setting. So, Jerry, I mean, I know you were just soaking it in as well.
Yeah, and I like what Joseph pointed out. I think we did kind of start the show more on an angle of, you know, tears of sorrow and so forth, and then we shifted a little bit, and with the help of our callers, you know, we've come to realize that, you know, very, very profoundly, that tears can be attached to so many different things. You know, like our first caller said, it could be, you know, military funeral. I'm thinking of parents who send a son or daughter off to, you know, boot camp or off to be deployed or something, or a wedding, you know, tears of joy at a wedding. And, you know, as Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. So maybe sometimes our tears are not even our own, but we're just, you know, consoling Debbie, you know, or standing by the side of somebody who's grieving or sorrowing, and we enter into that with them. So thanks, Joseph, for your call. Appreciate it so much. Yeah, we've got a line open. We're talking about tears today, and your own experience. Maybe you've gone through a season, a period in your life when you just had, you know, tears welled up. Maybe that gift of tears that Joseph mentioned. 833-288-EWTN. Join us on that open phone line there.
So we had two great calls so far. So let's go to number three. Janice, that's you in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Hi, Janice. Take it away on take two.
Hi, Debbie and Jerry. God bless you both. My answer is just very simple, and I just left the hospital visiting a friend. I was passing past St. Jude's Parish, and you used the word vessel, and I just thought, what is large enough? You know, that was my first thought, and then you mentioned how you were telling your husband. And then I thought of a moment in time where my tears changed, and now they had more meaning. I understood them. So all of the callers have hit everything that was on my mind. And I just think I had a turning point where a particular scripture became very close to my heart, and it kind of described all the previous years and up through to today. But I thought of when you said vessel, and I'm passing the church, and I, you know, been a daily Eucharistic person for years, and I thought of the chalice because it's ultimately bottomless, you know, and I do believe that the tears are a gift, and sometimes to others, the person sitting behind you that doesn't even know why you're crying, or just to us or alone, as the previous caller. Just everybody has just said amazing things this morning. I mean, but I just walked in my house, and I thought, if they don't take my name, I got to go, because my grandkids are going to be here in a minute. And you said, hello, Jana. So God bless you both. It's a simple answer, but I think it's as deep as heaven, because it can just hold all of our tears, the good, the bad, the years gone by, the years forward.
That's beautiful, Jana.
Right, the chalice of the Lord. Yeah. So God bless you both. And you
bless
do
you,
a
Jana.
Fantastic job. And I managed not to cry there, see? So that was really good.
Hey, Janice, give the grandkids a squeeze from us, okay?
I will do that. God bless you both.
God bless you, Janice.
Bye-bye.
In fact, Bye. Debbie, I know the parish she's talking about in Fort Wayne, St. Mm-hmm. Jude, where they have perpetual adoration, one among many places, I believe, in the Fort Wayne South Bend Diocese. But I just call to mind a gentleman I asked for the prayers for the repose of his soul. Ed Dom was his name, a great supporter of Redeemer Radio, and he would have these little laminated business card size cards, Debbie, that he would take around and give to people with the address of St. Jude's, and come be before the Lord. And I mean, I think at one point he tallied up there had been over 1 million hours of Eucharistic adoration.
Wow.
In that one parish. But getting back to Janice's comment on the chalice, Debbie, that's mm-hmm. so profound. You know, it's bottomless. It really is bottomless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, as she was, and the way she was describing it, I was just, like you said, Jerry, just entering into that, and the visualization and the thought of it, and it was amazing. Three fabulous calls. I don't know how we can keep up this pace, Jerry.
I'm sure we will, because Mary is next. And as Janice was talking about that, I was thinking of our Blessed Mother, and she certainly would have shed tears over her son's death. Mary is in Denver, listening on Denver Catholic Radio to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. Better now that you called, Mary.
Well, you know, I'm an 82-year-old woman, so I've experienced all kinds of tears. The joyful tears and the sad tears. And the story I have to tell you is very, very sad. But I was married for my first husband about 20 years, I guess. It was a disastrous divorce. And then I met a man who I thought was really going to be nice to I had a special needs son. I had 5 children. And I thought he was really going to be nice to my son, my children. And in the beginning, he was. And then we were married about 17 years, and I found 16 years, and I found out that he had been sexually assaulting my disabled son. So he ended up in prison, and I remember coming, and of course he ended up in prison. And I remember coming home from Mass one time after I heard all of this going on, and I said, Lord Jesus Christ, please, please help me. Help me. I need your help. And sure enough, just like, I mean, he just absolutely took this horrible load off of my shoulders. And then we went on. We treated our son with all kinds of love that we have always treated him with. And he progressed. And then at age 49, he died. And my son did. And but he had died a happy, happy death. So we had tears of joy, tears of sadness. And what was really interesting, when I, at one point, I forgave the man, and I prayed, when I was praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and I forgave him. And my heart was clear. My love was for my children was, it's, you can't even explain it, but I've had many, many tears. And thank you for listening to my story.
Well, Mary, first of all, our hearts go out to you, because we could hear it as the great mom that you are. It must have been just a horrific experience to go through. The thing that I think was so is so precious about your story is the fact that you leaned on God and you called out to God in your most probably vulnerable, fragile, you know, sad, sorrowful time, you called out to God and he was there for you. And you speak about your son so wonderfully. We would, if you can you give us his first name? Because we just want to celebrate his life as well.
Oh, his name was Larry. And I know in my heart that he's in heaven. I just know it. So I pray for him to pray for me every day.
Beautiful. Jerry, I mean, what a story. I mean, Mary's just a strong mom and a strong woman of faith.
Yeah, Mary, thank you for just having the heart to, for the show and for our other listeners and being able to share this on the program today. And I think it's just absolutely beautiful, the transformation that God worked, like you said, Mary, in your life. I mean, it was disastrous. It was, you know, tears of heartache and grief and sorrow and sadness. And in the end, you know, when your son passed away, like you said, it was joyful, and the tears turned to tears of joy. You know, I don't know the scripture right offhand, Debbie, but what is it? I will turn your mourning into dancing, you know, and you will have joy. And I'm just probably cobbling together all kinds of different scripture passages.
It's okay.
Here.
But, it sounds good, though.
Yeah. I'm writing my own translation of the Bible. Mary, thank you from Denver.
Thank you, Mary.
We appreciate hearing from you on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Jumpstart your faith. Now coming to a parish conference or retreat near you, world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
It's not enough to stop doing whatever it is that's keeping you from union with God. For most of us, there are serious issues that need to be addressed first in order to be able to embrace that life of virtue. All those things we're all called to, but which every one of us struggles to achieve.
Invite Jerry Usher today. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com.
I know Carmelite nuns who get a call from their Mother Superior every June telling them where they're going to be assigned in the year ahead. And even if they know they're probably not going to be transferred, before that call, they're supposed to pack up all their belongings and wait for the phone to ring. It's an exercise in detachment from the world. We all go through that in our own ways, don't we? Maybe sometimes, you know, something becomes unstable in our current jobs, or a new opportunity opens up, or we have a financial crash that forces us to rebudget everything, or we go on a job interview, or maybe get a call from a doctor with some disturbing news. You know, even if those experiences don't pan out to be anything, and they usually don't overlook their importance. That's God reminding us that, in the end, this world isn't our home. And if you get too attached to the little comforts you surround yourself with, you won't be available to God's grace and His call in your life. Stay open. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Thank you so very much, first of all, for this ministry. You have no idea what a blessing you and EWTN have been in my life and for my life, and I just thank you for that.
Well, first off, I'd like to say God bless you for your ministry, and my wife prayed daily for EWTN. It's a game changer in our world.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Later today on Catholic Answers Live, Chris Kaser will be by to discuss myths about the Catholic Church, and then we'll open up the lines for Open Forum with Jimmy Akin. Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on EWTN Radio. Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Great to have you with us, Jerry Usher, Debbie Georgiani. And speaking of Catholic Answers Live, I am no Jimmy Akin, I am no Tim Staples, but I have a vague sense of a scripture passage when it comes to my mind. And Debbie, the one I was thinking about with Mary's call, it's Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. And I didn't quote it verbatim, but I was close. And Psalm 30, 11 and 12, it says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have taken off my sackcloth and get this, clothed me with joy." And that's what I was thinking of, that it mentions joy in there. And these couple of verses, that's verse 11 right there, Debbie, and I think that's Mary's story right there.
Yeah.
In one Bible verse.
In one, so that was Psalm 30, 11, 12?
Psalm 30, verse 11, yeah, verse 11.
Verse 11, okay, I wrote it down. I love that, wow. Okay, Frank in Indianapolis, Indiana, on Catholic Radio Indy, you've been waiting so patiently, and now you're on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Frank.
Hi. Well, I don't know where to start, but I did cry when I was watching Coco not too long ago because I am Hispanic. And I cried for the country. I cried for a lot. I couldn't believe it, for Mother Angelica. And I actually was wishing I was there so I could be at her funeral. But my family said that, that didn't go because you would have probably yelled, Viva Mother Angelica, out loud and hoping everybody else would say Viva. But yeah, I'm a big crier too. Movies, things in the news and everything. I guess it's just part of being Catholic. I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I mean, but I know that John Bingham is the same way. You know, I mean, he finally got our Pope to be in the White House for us, and I know he cried a lot, and I cried a lot with him too when he was in there. So when Pope Francis was there.
Frank, I just want, you made a comment. You said about crying or showing emotion. I think it's very, very beautiful and attractive in an innocent way, when a man can show his emotion like that. I do. I think it's very powerful. It can be a great witness for others, especially when it's tears of joy, or like the gift of tears, when maybe at the Eucharist, or, you know, like Jerry was saying at the Easter Vigil. I think that attractiveness is a sign of strength, because here's the thing. So many times we hide behind these walls and we're somewhat afraid to show who we really are, but we're people with feelings, and why not express them with tears of joy and tears of sadness? And Frank, so I commend you for being so, you just came right on and you just said, well, yeah, I do. I cry at movies. I cry at this. I think that's wonderful. And I think it's healthy. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of strength, to be quite honest. I mean, the temptation of usually what we all do, Frank, you know this, Debbie, we all, you know, whether we're male or female, I think especially men, we want to, you know, suppress the tears, you know, when emotions well up, we think, well, you know what, I can't, I think we have it reverse, you know, we think, well, it's not, I won't look strong, you know, I'll look weak, or, you know, not masculine or manly or something. I think it's just the opposite, because if you're in control of yourself enough, and have that, you know, you're comfortable enough with yourself, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that you can let those tears flow, and even other people will see that. I see it as a sign of strength. What about you, yeah, Frank? You must see it that way.
Well, I just think you have an open heart, because, and that you really, I guess, are paying attention to what's being said. And I really don't. I look up to Jesus, you know, and I know he mourned for his friend. So I think since he taught us to be that, you know, that little, I guess he's like telling us, hey, it's okay to be emotional. I can see the love that I planted in your own soul. So I'm glad that you do that. It's okay with him doing it. I believe it's okay for me to do it. That's what I've always had Jesus in my, with me since I was 5, and I always had a good relationship with him. And I just love him so much. And it hurts me to know when other people say that they've given up on religion, and especially Christianity. And just,
Frank, it's very obvious that you have a love for our Lord, and I think that's wonderful. And the fact that you can show emotion, I think the Lord delights in that. I mean, I think anyway, He wants us to be expressive, and you're doing that in a very wonderful way. Thank you so much for calling in. And we have a couple, and not to make this a male and female thing, but I'm just curious. We have a few females calling in right now, Jerry, and I'm curious if they feel the same way I do when I made that comment that that it is a sign of strength, I think, when you see a guy cry or shed some tears. And it's very attractive in an innocent way. And I just want to maybe see what the women on the line think about this. So thank you, Frank, so very much. We're going to move on to Lisa in Fox Lake, Illinois. And Lisa, welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Yes.
Yes, hi, you. Lisa. Yes, you agree.
Yes, I agree. I think a man crying is a sign of strength, and that he has a relationship with the Lord that allows him to express that.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I wasn't alone on that. Yeah, thank you.
So, what else? What other thoughts do you have on this
my
topic?
My other comment is. And this isn't I didn't get this myself. I borrowed it from a mom's retreat that I was on years ago when I was raising my kids. The whole discussion was about tears and where they fit into motherhood at that time. But my comment was that from this speaker, we heard that tears are our ability to shed holy water on the situation, no matter what it is. And so I think of tears now forever, if the good times and the bad, it's just the holy water that I'm putting on the situation.
Wow. Wow. I'm never going to forget that, Lisa. That is absolutely beautiful. And, if I can just, again, get personal for a moment, what that reminds me of is when I was in the Holy Land in 2009, right about the time that my depression started to come on, at that time, I couldn't cry. I wanted to. I didn't know what was going on. All this turmoil and darkness was enveloping me, and I couldn't cry except when we were at where Jesus was, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they had this big rock that's inside this church that tradition tells us is where Jesus actually, when angels ministered to him, and he was going through his sorrow in the garden, and Debbie and Lisa, one tear welled up in my eye, and it fell down and landed on that rock. And I thought, God, that's all I have to give you right now, But mm-hmm. as you're talking, Lisa, I can now look back on that, and I say it could be one drop of holy water. It's like, Lord, this is my gift for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Debbie. I'm just kind of hogging everything here today. Sorry.
Well, no. The thing about it, Lisa and Jerry, is that, Jerry, when that happened to you, the reason why you remember it so much, it probably felt like it was happening in slow motion. And so it obviously that it had some kind of impact for you at that moment, at that time, in that place. And so what I think I hear you saying anyway is that our tears have merit no matter what, when they're happening. Sometimes I think, Lisa, would you agree with this too? Especially for women. I mean, we can somewhat cry very easily, especially over our children and stuff. But when we're in the middle of it, we're thinking, what am I doing? My face is swelling up, the tears are coming fast and furious. This is probably not really good for me. But they do have merit. It has tremendous merit. And like you said, Lisa, with that speaker that imparted that wisdom to all of you guys, I think that is very true. I think when we show emotion, there's meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm. And then there's physiological things that's been proven. When you cry, it is a release of whatever's going on, especially in the bad times, but even in the good. And if you can look at the tears in the good as holy water, too, it just has really changed the way I think about crying all around. Is when I think, and I see somebody crying, I'll go up alongside them, and maybe I won't necessarily cry, but I'll just praise God that this holy water is coming into the situation.
Mm. That was a very, very beautiful and profound take, Lisa. Thanks for sharing that with us. Very insightful. We appreciate that.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Listening. Yeah, bless you. Have a great day there in Fox Lake, Illinois. 833-288-EWTN. Talking about tears today and how easily or difficulty that you pray in different circumstances. I had a couple of emails, one from Kim at take2@EWTN.com. Kim said, in response to the topic today, I think I have shed enough tears to fill a rain barrel. Most recently, tears flowed in rivers when I learned of the Fatima messages and knew I had made a huge mistake walking away from the church. And then following this, I cried tears of sorrow when I realized how my ways had offended the Lord. I cry quiet tears of joy in Mass at times, and last Sunday when a group was confirmed. She says, I have huge tears when my young adult children experience pain and suffering. Blessings, Kim. And our dear friend Helen in Idaho. Hi, Debbie and Jerry. I've had serious tears of sadness, of not being happy with myself, heartaches about my son and grandsons, and tears of joy. Thankfully, being a Catholic has made my tears more understandable. I like the idea of counting smiles through the years, too. So thank you, Helen and Kim, yes, for sharing via email.
Wow, those are great emails. You know, guys, you can always email us. We read all the emails. In fact, sometimes we read them twice and three times because you end up sharing so much with us. We want to make sure we respond appropriately. It's take2@ewtn.com, and the emails come right to us. So that was great emails from Helen and Kim. Okay, are we going back to the phones?
Sure.
Okay. Do you know that this is really fascinating? You know, we're talking about tears today, and we've had a majority of men callers. I think that's fabulous. Way to go, guys. That's awesome. Okay, Carol in Burlington, Wisconsin. You're listening and you're waiting, and now you're on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Hi, Jerry and Debbie. This is Carol from Stand Tall Experience.
Hey, Carol.
Calling and hi. I was thinking, what a great show. And I was thinking about, in terms of alcoholism and recovery, that one definition of alcoholism is an alcoholic is someone who would drink as much as they would cry. And I like that very much because it shows how the your feelings and your hurts and everything get to be so overwhelming in life, and then of course you may turn to other things that aren't as productive as prayer and other things. But I like that very much, and that getting in touch with your humanity. So I think that when I look back at all, like, you didn't get the right date for the prom and all these things that you cried about, you know, I don't that they were important at the time. But I think as you get older, there's a certain maturity that you have with your feelings and your intellect, and you don't cry the same way as you did as a child. But if you're able to inventory why you cry and get in touch and say, well, like, what's the message behind the tears? It helps a lot, because then you know, sometimes you could just be stressed out, but other times you're getting in touch with feelings you never did before. So there were times at the retreat that I got in touch with some deep things and I cried, and it was good because it put things in a different perspective. And then, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So now, I'm hoping that I'm able to end the night and pick more mornings, you know, quicker.
Wow. Carol, thanks. Thanks again for being with us on the retreat, and thank you for calling and sharing this today. Very interesting insights. And Debbie, what I love about what she said, and I think we touched upon this in a vague way earlier in the show, and that is there are so many different reasons for tears, you know, motives and things underlying those tears. And Carol is pointing out that it could be a helpful exercise to try and say, well, what's behind these tears? You know, am I grieving over something that I'm really not consciously aware of, or is it just because, you know, I'm really happy, I'm really joyful, I'm grateful to God, you know? So I think she's making a very good point.
Oh, I agree. Carol, thank you so much. I'm so glad you called in, and thanks. I echo what Jerry said. Thanks again for being on the Stand Tall Retreat. We really appreciate it. But something that you said, Carol, that really jumped out for me was when you were saying getting in touch with our humanity. I think that it was really hit home for me, because so many times we go through things and we react or respond, and like you said, Carol, we're not even really sure where that's coming from. And so to get, like Jerry said, and echoed what you said, getting behind that, finding out where it's come from, but then to understand our humanity. I think that's when we can grow. We have huge growth spurts at that point. What do you think, Carol? Am I sort of following on par there?
Groveling and being low, it's being right-sized. And so when you're humble, you're balanced. And so I think that's why people enjoy seeing, not enjoy, but they like to see men cry, because it shows a reality that they're not just, you know, little John Wayne clones or something, just sucking it in and not having emotion at all. So, anyway.
Interesting.
But I think, you know, if Jesus came down to be God and man, and I think that he gave us the gift of humanity. So we should relish it anyway.
Great call.
Yeah, great call indeed. And it reminds me, Carol, of John 11:35, which I've heard, I believe, is the shortest verse in the Bible. It's two words, Jesus wept. Okay, so Jesus was clearly, we know that he was fully God, fully man, so he was at all times in touch with his divinity, but Debbie, he was also in touch with his humanity, and it showed. I believe, didn't he also weep over the death of Lazarus? And you can be sure in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was probably, you know, he sweat drops of blood, and you have to believe there may have been some tears involved there too. You know, that's maybe speculation on my part, but thanks again, Carol. We appreciate
that. Thank you, Carol.
Yeah.
Well, he was fully human and fully divine, Jerry, so obviously he experienced all those emotions. Okay, Jerry, did you want to say anything about the EWTN app, or do you want me to?
I can, unless you'd like to.
Well, well, I've been talking a lot, but I thought maybe I can do it, because I just wanted to share. I'm really excited about the apps. That's why. I really am. I think it's just so convenient. So you can carry your EWTN radio with you everywhere. You just download the EWTN app on your phone. It's super easy. It comes up, has a really cool, cool logo right on the face of your phone. It's so cool. And then you get the TV, radio streams, audio, video on demand, EWTN news, program schedules, prayers and devotionals. And it's so simple. Just download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com. Cool.
Okay, yeah, very, very cool indeed. Back to your calls. Mehdi, I hope I pronounced the name right, Mehdi in Tampa, listening on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Mehdi, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. I'm first-time caller for you guys here, but
welcome.
I listen to EWTN so many times. I advertise EWTN in everywhere I go because I have it. I sleep with my iPhone with EWTN. I cry. I listen to you guys every day. My call today is regarding about tears of sorrow. My son, his wife left him, and you know, when your kids are little and they fall and cut themselves, you can fix the problem easily with a Band-Aid. So this one, every day I cry for him, and I don't know what to pray for anymore, but he's going through so much of depression because this is the second time around. He's in the Army, so it's very tough for him. He wanted a family, and it seems like that didn't work out twice already. He doesn't want to hear about God, and that's what my pain coming from, too, being a mom, because he's going away from the faith. So, you know, when I do pray, like today again, I did my Stations of the Cross, and I prayed for him, but I felt like I don't think I'm praying the correct way. I don't know what to pray for. Am I supposed to be praying for reconciliation for him? And every time I pray for him, even mentioning his name, I cry because I feel so helpless. I don't know what to do and how to help him.
Well, Mehdi, here's the thing. First off, your tears are very important. And your prayers are very important. So don't ever think that you have to do it the correct way, because you're conversing with God and you're showing emotion with God. And that's what he wants. He wants to be in relationship with us. And so that's first and foremost. I just have to say that's my catechetical hat. Okay, so here's now my second part. Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio, please ask for his intercession for your son. He's fantastic. He's one of my go-to saints. I absolutely just love the way he works in people's lives. And he used to enlist the guardian angels. He used to send his guardian angel to talk to others, their guardian angels. And your son right now, you said, is very down and maybe depressed and doesn't want to talk about God. Well, maybe, just maybe, if you ask your guardian angel to go to his guardian angel, maybe you can start that open that door just a little bit. We have to enlist, I think anyway, we have to enlist the saints to help us, especially when we feel like all the doors are closed and we can't fix things anymore because they're not our little boys anymore. They're grown men. And I agree with you. It's the worst feeling in the world for a mom because you do want to make it all better. You want to put a Band-Aid on it and say, okay, you're all better. Keep going. And I get it. So I don't know if that helps you at all, but that's what I would do. And it's helped me in my life and with my children. So I'm hoping that the same outcome is for you as well. Jerry, did you want to add anything?
Can't add anything to that. Mehdi, that's a little bit of help for you. What do you think?
It's really greatly helped, especially knowing that I can pray to Padre Pio. But I also, because listening from you guys every day, that you do keep the people in your prayers, will you please keep him in your prayers? I don't know about the relationship of reconciliation, but maybe someone who's really just wanting to have a family and be a good, I mean, he's maybe not be 100% a, you know, a husband, but someone that will lead him to God as well.
Absolutely.
So
do you want us? Do you want us to put his first name in our book, or do you just want us to leave it anonymous? What would you like?
His name is Jeremy.
Jeremy. Okay, he's in the book, and we start praying right now, around the clock. So please, Mehdi, keep us posted. We journey with you in this, and we pray for one another. We want to have praise God prayers as well. So please, Mehdi, keep us posted, if you will, for Jeremy.
Thanks, Mehdi, for the call. Carolyn, we hope to get to you in a second here. We're going to go to Debbie next, listening in the South. Debbie, we've got literally about 2 minutes. Hate to make you keep it short, but we definitely want to hear your take on this. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to Take Two.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Debbie.
Just calling real quickly. Tears of sorrow and then many, many years of joy. My daughter was assaulted, raped. Many, many, many years ago, and got pregnant, and we never considered abortion, and that was totally by the grace of God. My grandchild grew up to be a beautiful person through Catholic school all her years. My daughter's husband adopted her, and she is now about to graduate and going into forensic criminology.
Wow.
So praise God for that. There were many, many tears of sorrow that when we saw that six-month ultrasound, it was nothing but joy.
Mm. Yeah, quite a roller coaster of tears in that situation, Deb.
Many, we can't imagine life without them anymore.
Wow.
Well, Debbie, I know you join me in really rejoicing with Debbie and their whole family, and it just sounds like God has brought so much good out of what, you know, was really probably a very traumatic and very painful situation.
Right. Well, Debbie, I just wanted to say I had a feeling you were going to share how special your grandchild is, and because I've heard similar stories of those who have gone through very traumatic situations and have done the exact same thing that you did, didn't terminate the pregnancy, you know, were open to life. They said, okay, we're going to make this happen, and the child turns out to be not just ordinary, extraordinary, and that sounds like. For you and your granddaughter. How beautiful is that? I mean, forensics, wow, she's brilliant. So God bless her and God bless your whole family for being cooperating with God, because that's what you did. And I think that's wonderful. Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie, thanks. Carolyn in Mississippi. I wish we were going to have time, but any second now you will hear the closing music of the program. Apologies, Carolyn and the others, and Gary via email. Thank you, Gary. And May emailed us, and Debbie Michelle emailed this. She said, years ago, I had a very wise pastor who used to say, don't worry when you cry, worry when you can't cry. Don't worry when you cry, worry when you can't cry. Maybe that's a profound and note to ponder and end the broadcast on.
Yeah, I'm going to pass that on to Marty. Marty needs to hear that. Okay, tomorrow we're going to talk about bullying and what's behind the bullies. It's a very important show live at the Anaheim Conference Center, right, Jerry, for the Catechetical Conference.
Anaheim Convention Center, Los Angeles Religious Education Conference.
Can't wait. So until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.